He turned his face away. She bent timidly around till her breath stirred his curls and whispered, "I love you." Then she sprang away and ran around and around the desks and benches with Tom after her and took refuge in a corner at last with her little white apron to her face. Tom clasped her about her neck and pleaded, "Now, Becky, it's all over but the kiss. Don't you be afraid of that. It ain't anything at all. Please, Becky." And he tugged at the apron and the hands. By and by, she gave up and let her hands drop. Her face, all glowing with the struggle, came up and submitted. Tom kissed the red lips and said, "That's all done, Becky. And always after this, you know, you ain't ever to love anybody but me, and you ain't ever to marry anybody but me, never, never, and forever. Will you?" "No, I'll never love anybody but you, Tom, and I'll never marry anybody but you, and you ain't to ever marry anybody but me either."
"Certainly. Of course, that's part of it. And always coming to school or when we're going home, you're to walk with me when there ain't anybody looking. And you choose me and I choose you at parties because that's the way you do when you're engaged."
"It's so nice. I never heard of it before."
"Oh, it's ever so jolly. Why, me and Amy Lawrence..."
The big eyes told Tom his blunder, and he stopped, confused.
"Oh, Tom, then I ain't the first you've ever been engaged to."
The child began to cry. Tom said,
"Oh, don't cry, Becky. I don't care for her anymore."
"Yes, you do, Tom. You know you do."
Tom tried to put his arm about her neck, but she pushed him away and turned her face to the wall and went on crying. Tom tried again with soothing words in his mouth and was repulsed again. Then his pride was up and he strode away and went outside. He stood about, restless and uneasy, for a while, glancing at the door every now and then, hoping she would repent and come to find him. But she did not. Then he began to feel badly and fear that he was in the wrong. It was a hard struggle with him to make new advances now, but he nerved himself to it and entered. She was still standing back there in the corner, sobbing with her face to the wall. Tom's heart smote him. He went to her and stood a moment, not knowing exactly how to proceed. Then he said hesitatingly,
"Becky, I don't care for anybody but you."
No reply, but sobs.
"Becky,"
pleadingly,
"Becky, won't you say something?"
More sobs. Tom got out his chiefest jewel, a brass knob from the top of an andiron, and passed it around her so that she could see it, and said,
"Please, Becky, won't you take it?"
She struck it to the floor. Then Tom marched out of the house and over the hills and far away to return to school no more that day. Presently, Becky began to suspect. She ran to the door. He was not in sight. She flew around to the play yard. He was not there. Then she called,
"Tom! Come back, Tom!"
She listened intently, but there was no answer. She had no companions but silence and loneliness. So she sat down to cry again and upbraid herself. And by this time the scholars began to gather again, and she had to hide her grief and still her broken heart, and take up the cross of a long, dreary, aching afternoon, with none among the strangers about her to exchange sorrows with.